The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today. Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm
cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man. I think this is the latest we've ever started hour two.
Yeah. I was wondering where the hell we are at.
You knew that was going to happen, though, when we had Craig in. You guys kind of put a quarter in him, fired him all up, talking about Bronny and that whole thing. I still don't know how I ended up being the bad guy in this whole thing.
Eh, we had to balance it out, and you were just shrapnel, right?
Apparently. One thing, Chewy, that I have been really impressed with, and Jason said it earlier when he joined us, that he's got a man crush on Jeff Heffley. And the way that he handles everything, and again, we can only get so much of a glimpse of what goes on inside the locker room, right? Like, I mean, we'll never fully know what he's like, but it seems like his players respond to him. And the way he handles things and talks about things when he steps up to the podium each and every Thursday, I am just really impressed on the way he's handled the whole Robert Saleh thing. Because this would have had the possibility, and I trust Matt LaFleur that if he felt that Heffley was insecure at all, he wouldn't have brought in Robert Saleh. And even when he did bring in Robert Saleh, he made it clear when he first talked about it on Wednesday, hey, he's going to only help me on the offense and all these things. But Heffley said, I don't care who he is, if he can help me. Let's listen to some of the things that Jeff Heffley had to say about Robert Saleh and the fact that he's open to the suggestion of Saleh potentially helping him out.
Well, there's been a line since he's been here. He's been with the offense, but I mean, like I said, he's my friend, so we've talked all the time, whether it was me asking questions, him asking questions, us, you know, giving our thoughts in the off season together. I mean, ultimately, you guys know me by now. I have one thing that is important to me, and that's winning. So if you got a good blitz idea and you think it will work, let me know it. And if it fits in, maybe we'll run it.
I mean, that's to me what all coaching should be. And yet, so often it's not. Right?
Yeah, you're right. But everyone, I mean, it seems like Saleh has a little bit of a tree, even though he's only a one-time head coach. I mean, we talk about the Holmgren tree. There's the Andy Reid. There's the Belichick tree. There's the Parcells tree. Seems like Saleh has its own little tree. But it's true. It goes all the way down. Like, my son, who's been in the biz for a while, has a tree. His best friend is the head coach at North Dakota State, you know?
Yeah.
And then Dylan, there's another tree. He was with Kalen DeBoer at Fresno State. And he was with Grubb, the OC of the Seattle Seahawks.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So they all have their little trees that they go off in, you know? But it's weird. It's like you would think he'd join them. He's like, man, I kind of want to do it on my own, which these guys have kind of done, you know, like Heffley. I mean, he came from Boston College. A lot of people didn't know about him until you start digging in, right? Oh, he was with LaFleur here. He was with Saleh here. He was with here. That to me is like Saleh was probably smart enough to go, he doesn't need me. Don't do this. I don't want the media to jump on this, that I'm with the defense. And Halfley's kind of like, I got it. No, I'm good. And now we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We only can see what we can see.
But yeah, but I think Halfley's open to it. Like, again, the fact that he's standing up there, the way he's at least handling it is spectacular. Like, because when he says the most important thing to me is winning, I don't know how actually, like, for Joe Barry, and maybe this is unfair to Joe, but whatever. I don't know if winning was the most important thing to him. Like, if Robert Saleh would have become available last year, if Robert Saleh was fired halfway through last year instead of this year, and I don't know if he ends up with the Packers just because it seemed like he was so insecure in his job and Matt LaFleur wouldn't have wanted to rock that boat and cause drama in the middle of the season, whereas now everybody seems like they're going in the same direction.
No, you know what I think it was, Gabe? I think Joe Barry wanted credit for what was going on the field. I don't think Heffley cares, right?
Yeah.
When you have players that are upset with you as a coordinator and you don't listen to them, that's typically you want the credit. Like Holmgren, And I don't know whether he was BSing during the day or what, but there were times I'd come off the field and the game, he'd be like, what do you like? You know? He would talk to you. He wouldn't be like, I'll tell you what, I'm going to run. You know? He'd come over and be like, what do you like here? You like Fox Y hook? You like 22 Y stick or 3? You know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the marking. That, and they all have egos. Don't get me wrong. They all have egos. But when I think Halfley just wants his players to be so good. He doesn't care about himself. He's like, I want to put these guys in the best position possible for them to succeed. So it's a dance. I just think Joe Barry was more about like, yeah, this is my defense. No one tells me how to run it and stuff like that. It's just, especially in today's football, that doesn't work.
I feel like maybe that can work at the collegiate level a little bit. But at the professional level, when and maybe it works with younger teams, but the one thing you've told that story before of, hey, Holmgren comes up to us. Hey, what do you like here? You know, like getting the input of veteran players, and that's just, why wouldn't you do that? Like, you've been to, you know what you're doing at after a certain point. You're a professional athlete. Why wouldn't you want the input of your players? And that was seeming the opposite of what was happening with this defense the last handful of years.
And Gabe, Holmgren would take it one step farther because you could tell when you're in it, you know, and you're into the flow of the game, and plays come in like, these plays suck. They suck. And that happens for like two series or maybe three series, and you're like, what in the hell? And all of a sudden, it clicks, right? And all of a sudden, oh, here we go. Now there's a flow. Now players can feel that in a huddle. And then after the game, we'd be like, we'd ask the mole of the coaches, we'd be like, what the hell? He'd like, Mike turned the play calling over to Sherm. And we're like, really?
Yeah, and the only one who would know that is Brett, right? Because Brett's the only one who can hear
him. Brett wouldn't even know. No, Brett wouldn't even know because Andy Reid would be in Brett's ear as the quarterback coach, not Holmgren.
Oh.
Holmgren can't communicate with Brett, you know? So Andy would never say that to Brett because he wouldn't want to betray Mike's trust. But we would find out after the fact, you're like, now it makes sense because he didn't have it today and he turned it over to Sherm and then Sherm took it. Players can feel that stuff.
Wait, so who's your mole?
Who was
it? I mean, the statute of limitations is expired. You can't get in trouble.
You know, I know who it was.
Was it Mooch?
A former player. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying anything else.
Former player that
you
was
guys got to figure it out.
The staff.
You got.
So now you're going to make me do the work, and I'm going to have to go through what the coaching staff looked like back then?
Yeah, blue blood.
Right. I'm going to do the work here. I'm going to get my hands dirty, because apparently I get accused of not getting my hands dirty.
Yes. I think that's a very fair hint.
I don't know why we're playing hint games here and not just saying it.
I want to make you work on a Friday.
All right.
I mean, most of you guys are checked out. You're like, you're looking for
this
that.
This is an all-time look in the mirror moment here.
This is 9 o'clock.
You don't like what's staring back at you.
No. Today, we're working today. We are working today, all right?
All right.
It's not Saturday, so let's get it done.
I'll have a guess for that. Plus, is somebody asked this on the talk at text line. With Minnesota losing last night, what does that do for the Packers this upcoming game on Sunday? We dive into that coming up next, but I do want to tell you about our friends at the Ewald Automotive Group. Whether you're hauling, towing, or just plain trucking, it's truck month at Ewald Automotive Group. They have hundreds of the toughest trucks from Chevy, Ford, GMC, and Ram, with payments as low as $299 per month and financing as low as 0%, and it's all backed by that Ewald exclusive 20-year, 100,000-mile warranty going on now while supplies last. Offer expires at month's end, which is coming up soon. So take advantage. Make it easy with Ewald and go to ewaldauto.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Unbelievable that they ran all over this vaunted defense.
Why
this elite defense.
Kool-Aid?
What Kool-Aid?
Why? It was poop Kool-Aid. And we gobbled it down.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I told you I'm not saying.
What do you mean? I thought if we guessed it.
I told you I'm not saying.
I thought if we guessed it, you would confirm it. Who the,
I didn't
who
say
the,
that.
Who the mole was on the coaching staff that gave you guys, you know, the backdoor information.
I didn't say I would, but it is hot in here. Holy cow.
Yeah, so it was Harry Sidney. Okay. All right, glad we got to the bottom of that, of who the mole was, of the, apparently, and the other thing we've established today, of apparently there was a good Super Bowl and a bad Super Bowl in terms of the Super Bowls won during my lifetime, the 1996 team being the good one, the 2010 one being the bad one.
Yes.
So Minnesota loses last night. A little bit of controversy at the end, but whatever. They end up losing the game. They lose 30-20 on the road in Los Angeles Thursday night football. With a win, the Packers can actually go ahead of the Vikings because now they have the same record at 5-2. They can vault themselves ahead of the Vikings in the standings. As a player, do you pay attention to any of that, Chew? Does last night's outcome impact you at all going into this game against Jacksonville?
No. You see that they lost. I would think most guys wouldn't even. You're so sick of watching football. I mean, film-wise, that most guys probably didn't watch this game, just saw the score. But I watched a little bit of it. My takeaway is the Rams, who are not out of it because the West is so bad, the Rams are. I wonder where they would have been if they had Cup and Nacua from the start. Because I think they're pretty good. I think there's a chance that they may wind up winning the West, and they could be one of those teams like, I don't really want to face the Rams for the first game. Because they are a different team. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. They're 100% a different team. Turns out when you have somebody who has, you know, some of the biggest receiving seasons in the last handful of years in Cooper Kupp and then Puka Nacua, who had a tremendous season last year for the Rams. Yes, when both of those guys are healthy and Matthew Stafford is healthy and Kyron Williams is healthy, they've got weapons offensively. They can score points, as they proved last night against the Vikings defense that's performed pretty well at times this year. So, yeah, the Packers were fortunate to get the Rams when they got them.
See, I think Minnesota will get better with Hockenson, too. So, you know, it's a blip in the radar for them. And the Packers are going to lose a game like this. It's just they're not going throughout the season with two losses. I can tell you that. So they're going to have that. Hockenson will make them better because Darnold, you would think, needs a security blanket, and I think that'll be him. But I think the Rams are going to, like I said, be one of those teams that I don't really want to face.
If they're healthy and playing well in late December, early January, they're going to be that proverbial team nobody wants to face in the postseason. Kind of like what the Packers were last year.
Yeah. Do you see the Rams more of a threat than Dallas?
Yeah.
Do you see them more of a threat than Atlanta?
Yes.
Tampa Bay?
Yes.
Philly?
Probably. No. Just because it seems like no way.
Listen, the media on the East Coast is brutal. Philadelphia and New York.
Well, but it just
they're
seems
just
like,
making a big thing of this Sirianni thing. The Eagles are still a very good team.
That's
Dave.
What I'm saying. Like, it seems though every time that the Eagles take like a step forward, like something comes out about Sirianni, then they play like crap and they take a step back.
Yeah, I still think on the field they have more talent. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they have more talent than the Rams.
Oh, 100%. 100% true. That's more, to me saying I'm more scared of the Rams is because I feel like Sirianni is not going to be able to keep it together for another 10 weeks, whereas Sean McVay is going to be able to get something going in the next 10 weeks. You know what I'm saying?
And I'm going to give you a team that we know nothing about. I don't watch any of their games. I just look at the box score. Are the Rams better than Seattle?
Oh, I thought you were going to say Washington. The Rams are probably better than Seattle.
Seattle's pretty good, though, Gabe.
Oh, yeah, they're solid. Don't get me wrong. They're solid. They're solid. But, again, I just trust McVay and the weapons that they have. Again, the big caveat with the Rams is when healthy. And that's for the Packers. Honestly, Chew, that's been the best thing about them all year is how healthy that they've stayed.
Yeah. So now Josh?
Yep.
Oh, looks like sounds like he's about to turn on you.
Yeah, I don't know why.
You would now. You would be appropriate in putting the Packers in front of Minnesota. Now it's okay. It wasn't okay on Tuesday. Okay, but now it's okay. Would you agree?
I mean, sure. I think if we're in the game of prognostication and kind of seeing how things go, you could say one team was clearly bound to be going the direction they are, and that's the Vikings with Sam Darnold. you know, if you were in the game of predicting things like we do sometimes around here.
Okay.
Seeing the forest through the trees, if you will. Not just looking at results.
Did he play horrible or no? I don't know.
He wasn't particularly good, no. Okay. No, he's got a big difference between his scripted plays versus his non-scripted plays, which is
a lot of quarterbacks, to be fair.
But his are like he goes from first to about 29th, 30th in a lot of categories. So
they got to eat early.
If there's one thing, hold on. If there's one thing I wish I could instill in you two, and it's probably on me. I don't say it enough.
Okay.
You can never get too high. And you can never get too low. You guys get too...
What are you saying? What do you mean? What do you mean you don't say it enough?
The gap is way too big. Look. And even when watching film, when I was down in the dumps after the Philly game, when I thought I didn't play well, it's never as bad as you think. And then I can catch seven balls for 110, and it's never as good as you think. I need more of that out of you guys. The fluctuation it stresses me.
I feel like,
but the fluctuation, first of all, is part of being a fan, is it not?
Uh-huh. Yep, riding
highs and lows. I put you guys above a fan. Okay.
Well, thank you for that, but I don't know if we deserve it. I think we're pretty, like, Gabe and I have been harping on the pass rush for a long time. It's a thing we keep going to. We were willing to say, hey, Jordan, maybe throw a couple less interceptions. A lot of people out there won't even accept that conversation.
Yeah.
Brett Favre, Hall of Famer, a lot of interceptions. It's like, it's more nuanced than that.
Yeah. Gabe, I need you back with your tag word, okay?
Fine.
You know what you're... It's fine. It's fine.
Like, I don't know. I don't know if I've gotten overly excited about the Packers this year. I mean, I've gotten a nickname. I don't even know where I exist right now. I'm Johnny Raincloud. Now I'm being accused of getting too excited. I'm a man without a country. I don't know where I exist right now.
I just want you more in the middle.
I think I exist in the middle.
Say, being Johnny Raincloud and a toad.
Yeah, you've been given the name possible. Johnny Raincloud. No, and you Josh, you're a toad.
You just want me to be more negative. Yeah. You don't like the fact that I'm being a little positive about the Packers, and you want me to go back to being the super negative guy.
Ready.
That's what you want.
No, I want you to play between the 40s. I don't want you on the plus 10 and then the minus 10. I want you 40 to 40. Just right in that sweet spot, you know? It's like Stephen Korn,
isn't
right?
Plus 10 and minus 10 the 40s?
Gabe, you know Stephen Korn. Gabe, Stephen Korn got C's, right? Not showing off and not falling behind. Right?
Right in the meaty part of the curve.
Right in the meaty part. And you know what they say. C's get degrees. And so do D's.
What have I said today that has been overly optimistic that you think that I've been riding this highs and lows?
I don't. You're on the one end. You're on the minus 10, and Joshy's on the plus 10. Okay? You're Johnny Raincloud. You know?
Yeah, but I feel good about this game. You know? Can I feel good about this game? Am I allowed to feel good about the Packers going down to Jacksonville and winning?
Yeah, but
I've got it. So the prediction I put out there that's going to be on that social media, I said 27-17.
Did you see what I said?
I did not. Did you do 98-2?
No, it's along those lines because of the ultimate toad boy who sent out the email this week.
Oh, so, okay. Well, now we got to open up the doors, go inside baseball. So Maddie Hayes, she's done such a great job being, you know, in charge of a lot of our social media content. She is off this week. So Alex Stroff, who filled in on this show last week, of course, you can catch him as the producer. Kyle Bruston-Nortman does so many other great things for us here, digital content. But he's the one who was asking for our predictions. So you decided to fire back at Toad Boy, who is Alex Stroff.
Yes, because his toadiness bothers the ever-living daylights. Joshy's doesn't. But when you're the toad that says, no, the sky is green, it's not blue, which Stroff is, he's the uber toad, that grinds me. Joshie's is more entertaining.
Wait, so what was your prediction? And you thought that this would somehow bother Strofe?
3-2.
Who wins?
Yeah, because Maddie yelled at me last year. Maddie yelled at me last year. Because of my, remember, last year I was doing stupid predictions.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
She was mad at me, but she does it in such a sweet way that I don't know how to read it. Am I right or wrong?
No, she's good at her job.
Maddie's the sweetest person in the building.
Sweeter than Josh? Come on. Josh, a big sweetheart.
You just said Josh was angry yesterday.
You got a lot of inconsistency.
Here we go. Back to consistency. Yeah. There's no... I need you between the 40s.
The problem is this week we've turned on each other way too much. You know, we haven't been a united front. We've been trying to turn on each other. No, you're included in that.
I am?
Yeah.
I just agree with a lot of with a lot of Josh's points.
You're a side picker is what you are. We're going to see how much you like Josh after you hear the questions that he came up with this week for Week in Reachu as we do that coming up next. But is your business looking for localized banking solutions and a strategic partner? Fifth Third Bank has been looking forward to the future and helping businesses shape what's next for 165 years. And for the last 15 right here in Milwaukee, they offer industry-specific expertise, local decision-making capabilities, and extensive experience to help navigate the complexities of a constantly changing business market environment. With your business in mind. Fifth Third is big enough to provide sophisticated solutions and expert guidance, but also empowered to make local decisions work from a foundation of strong community connections. Commercial banking value only Fifth Third can deliver. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I'm going to go with the corn dog, the old corn dog. The corn dog for the
birthday. Pierogies and borscht all day long.
That's just crazy. Nobody likes borscht, let alone
God,
on their
it's
birthday.
So good. It's the only thing that makes my mouth water, other than my wife.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fondy chimes in on the talking text line, 800-990-3776. Hey, don't pick on Strofe with his ability to call you out. Look, Strofe knows the number. He was listening. He texted me during that segment when you were making fun of him, Chewy. If he wants to defend himself. Yeah, if he wants to defend himself.
I'm not going to put him on air.
He knows where the studio is.
Ooh, I think that's a little producer's get out of my space here.
A little producer war?
I kind of like that. Yeah.
Well, but Josh is a pretty frequent guest on Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah.
So it seems like there's at least some sort of good working relationship.
Yeah, I'm just a tyrant.
You're not worried about a little payback?
Wait, so you don't find that at all?
No, ironic? No.
Yeah, okay. All right. It's fair enough.
Think you know the show better than the average ESPN Milwaukee fan? Now's your chance to prove it. It's time to play The Week in Reach You.
Josh has come up with 5 questions of things that you have said throughout the course of the week. Chewy, we quiz you right now to see how well you remember what you said. You get 3 right, you win. You get 3 wrong, you lose. Always worth noting, you've never gotten all 5 right. You've never gotten all 5 wrong either. Question number 1 begins with an audio clip.
Gabe, you have to give them credit for one thing.
Yeah, what's that?
And that's leaning into what morons they are, because they lean into it really well. You know, and I kind of appreciate that.
Who did you give credit for leaning into being morons earlier this week?
The WIAA.
All right, we're off to a hot start.
Yeah.
People starting to catch on to that story more and more. It was on the Journal Sentinel with sports.net. Yeah, of a couple of teams being left out of the playoffs.
I keep seeing it get picked up more and more. It's so funny because they were warned before they released it.
Yep.
And then after they released it, people commented on it. And with time to change it and fix it, they just said, nah, this is good.
Just kind of put their hands up and shrugged,
Whoopsie-daisies.
We already printed it, guys. We can't print another one.
Yeah, they're
morons. Can't do that. WIAA playoffs begin tonight, by the way, right here at 94.5 ESPN. Question number 2, so you're 1-for-1, also begins with the audio clip.
And they'll bring it all back to pregnancy, which they always do.
What do they, and they being women, bring back to pregnancy?
I remember the conversation. I don't know what I was talking about.
You're going to kick yourself.
Really?
Yeah. I thought this was a layup.
Was Jen there or no?
No, Jen was not here for this conversation. Oh, this was a Tuesday conversation.
Okay. Yeah.
It always comes back to being pregnancy when men are being babies when they're sick.
Oh, because I was sick. Still sick, by the way. Still a baby.
Grinder.
Yes.
What we were talking about. All right, we're 1-1. Pivotal game number 3 begins with the audio clip.
Not on a rope, but more of a rope than a floater.
What was the coverage heck? You were describing that throw as best to beat?
Not on a rope, but more of a rope than a floater. I know it was one of Jordan Love's picks. Not on a rope, but more of a rope than a floater.
So we're just looking for the coverage. What coverage do you need to make that type of throw against?
Cover 2. Yeah. Can't float it. Too many people in the middle of the field. That didn't really feel like a win, but we got there, I think.
Yeah. So you, look, I asked the question. You gave the right answer.
You just need to understand the context of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
All
so
right.
Is that a win?
Yeah, that's a win. You gave the right answer. You don't have to show your work here. This isn't a math problem. 2-1. You just got to get one of the last two questions to be victorious this week. Question number 4. What did you want me and Joshy to apologize and be fired for?
This is all I want.
Okay.
I want an apology and for both of you to be fired.
Well.
No idea. I remember the conversation, but I have no idea what I was talking about.
This was around the Greendale effects. The Greendale effects.
Oh, because you said Greenfield.
Yeah, because, again, we were trying to bring together the WIA conversation.
We doubted the reality of it and how
Then we also then doubted when we started talking about Greenfield and how
Greendale.
Oh yeah, excuse me, Greendale. I get confused too. Because I talked about this with Vince Vitrano this morning on WTMJ and he calls it the Greendale bubble. So
yes.
we
and
doubted.
My buddy and my buddy Ringelberg knows about the bubble.
So
we
doubted the veracity of the claim about the bubble of Greendale. So we obviously have not been fired, but we did apologize.
Okay. Thank you.
I still haven't.
I thought we were buds. What the?
I'm sorry.
So much for the united front for the rest of Friday's show, right?
Yeah.
Question number 5. You get it right, you win. You get it wrong, you lose. What type of footwear was Brett Favre wearing in the infamous photo that led you to describe these moves?
All right. We don't need to put it
pork
on the
chop.
Poll this way. How many of those do you have?
Well, there's probably at least 10.
Pork chop, bat wing, bird bath. Oh, the turtle. Okay. Everyone gets the turtle where it comes out of its shell. That would be purple Crocs. That I did not know until you guys informed me.
Apparently, Ashton is unhappy with this line of questioning as he's looking at us very incredulously. Just can't believe that we played that clip back after what happened.
He poked his head
into the producer's room at the wrong time. Congratulations, Drew. You got the question right. You win the week. 3 out of 5 questions.
I really just don't want that image on my computer unless it gets scrubbed one day.
No, nobody should be looking up that photo in the year of our Lord 2024. No. Either you've seen it or you haven't, and if you haven't, be thankful that you have not, is all I am going to say. We may or may not have a special guest. We'll see if he arrives on time. We'll have to wait and see. If our special guest arrives here before for the final segment, which is a surprise to you. We'll find out if he's here, if he's not, coming up next. But I do want to tell you about our friends at Palermo's Pizza, because with a big football weekend, Wisconsin hosting a nationally ranked team on Saturday night, you got the green and gold going down to Jacksonville on Sunday. You want to make sure that your freezer is stocked full of Palermo's pizza. Whether we're talking about Palermo's, Urban Pie, Connie, Surfer Boy Pizza, Screaming Sicilian, there is going to be a pizza in there that fits your appetite or maybe your family's appetite. Maybe they're different. Make sure you stock up and have so many different brands of Palermo's pizza. They've been doing this here in Wisconsin for 60 years. So when it comes to premium quality frozen pizza, nobody does it better than Palermo's. Find them in your grocer's frozen food aisle. Palermo's flavor is our family's business.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
363.
What's that?
Oh, the number of yards they gave up on the ground against the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's a Bible verse, John 3:63. Look it up. Tell us what it
says. I thought it was Joe 3:63, and it was, thou shalt not get past me on the line of scrimmage.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go.
Wasn't sure if he was going to be here, but he is. Getting ready for Wildy and Tausch. We had Jason earlier, so why not bring in the better half of Wildy and Tausch?
Oh, that's very nice of you to say.
Mark Tausch, well, I mean, as much as we love...
Chewy looks great, by the way.
Well, I mean, a little Florida sun, that's going to...
Get that,
Tausch, I like that shirt.
Vitamin D action that you're... Yeah, I don't usually wear buttons up, especially not on, but... This one works, at least for me.
So you're not... clashing doesn't bother you at all because doesn't bother me.
Does this clash? I'm sorry. I have no concept of what clashes. I'll look at stuff and just, you know what, if it fits.
Chewy wears gym attire every day, and yet he's our fashion critic on the show.
If it fits, Chewy, I'm wearing it. Goes into it, so...
I mean, Tausch, we had the best job in the world for, what, 10-plus years in your case? Where we could wear sweats to work every single day.
And we
did. There's nothing better.
And we did.
Yes.
Until Charles Woodson came, and then everybody started wearing suits. I didn't jump into that brigade, but that was all part of the deal.
Tausch, do you ever... you know Sean Jones, right? You know the name?
I do.
Did you have any players when you played that did like weird stuff? Sean Jones would wear his clothes, his street clothes... and then just put his sweats over him and then go to practice because he didn't like showering at the facility. So he'd just take his sweats off after practice and go right home.
No, Chewy. Now, there were guys, I always thought this was weird, where you had the cold tub and the hot tub, and there'd be guys that would just go right from practice in their pads. And jump into both. And that was disgusting to me. Like, at least fake it. You know, they tell you to go rinse.
Yeah.
At least fake. Like, you know, if you don't want to go wash your hands when you go to the bathroom, at least fake it so I think that you did. You don't jump in. I mean, I'm talking like 90 degree heat. And then you jump in the cold tub next to me and I had just rinsed. I'm like,
yeah.
That was the stuff. And there are a lot of guys that did that. But no, I don't remember anybody like wearing
an ensemble.
Were you a hot tub guy every day before practice
I love
or whatever?
The hot tub, yeah. Especially as the joints started getting older and creakier, you know, and then the cold tub, then doing the contrast, getting, you know, I bought into that, and even if it was a placebo effect, I definitely bought into that.
So we got ticked one time. Did you know Ollie? Was Ollie there?
No.
When you were there?
No.
Ollie swept the floors. So Ollie was just this old, decrepit guy. We loved him. Brett loved him. We all loved Ollie. But Kurt, you know, Kurt the trainer.
Corey!
Came in. Yeah. Kurt came in early one day, and Ollie was soaking his hemorrhoids in the hot tub. Ooh. In the player hot tub Ooh. Only. And they had to drain the hot tub and scrub it down so there was no hot tub for like 2 days.
You weren't happy with Ollie. Yeah, you never know. The guys that are there all the time, you know, they probably get sick of picking up stuff and doing this. You don't know, probably best that you don't know about what some of the stuff they're doing. And maybe it would have been better if Kurt didn't float through there. That hot tub's supposed to kill all that stuff, right? Those chemicals and the heat.
Yeah, sure. We're moving off of, you know, the hemorrhoid problem that a former janitor at. we're going to move off of that if you guys don't mind.
This is players only. This is what happens.
I feel we should take advantage and ask you some sort of Packers question. Are you worried at all against about the Jaguars game?
No, this whole trap game idea. Chewy, I don't know if you buy this. That's like veterans, old guys that have been around a long time. And it's like, oh, God, we got to go play a bad team down. We're going to beat them. It'll probably be this. You got all these young guys. They don't know any better. And you got Christian Watson, only 14 targets. You got all these guys that want to get stats, too. I'd be shocked if this was any semblance of a trap
game. Agree, Tausch. Totally agree.
See, hemorrhoids, I don't know if we agreed on that, but trap game we do.
Yeah, there you go. Found a way to meet in the middle. Wildy and Tausch coming up next.